What can we still not get enough of?
Find out next on Junkies.
Welcome to Junk Food, the podcast about junk food, where we rate and review mystery treats to determine which one will be the undisputed champion of snacks. I'm your host, Mike. Alongside me, as always, Alyssa.
Hey, Dad.
Hey, bud.
What can you do to get a country girl to like you?
Oh, what can you? Well, I hope I find out. What can you do to get a country girl to like you? I don't know.
A tractor.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty good. You know what? I have some friends that are super into tractors. They're always trying to get me to go to farm shows in Kentucky.
Oh.
That's not even a joke. That's a true story. And that was a dad joke, a joke you tell to your dad. If you'd like to submit a dad joke for Alyssa to tell me on the show, you can send it in to us via Extra Threads or Blue Sky at JunkFeudPod or via email to JunkFeudPod@gmail.com. Liz.
Yeah.
Welcome back once again to the world's yeetest podcast.
The yeetest show on earth, very mid, giving him the egg super bus and hitting him with the Riz each and every week.
Yeah, you want to sing the song?
Hot Cheetos and Takis. Hot Cheetos and Takis. I can't get enough of these Hot Cheetos and Takis.
And literally, we cannot get enough of Hot Cheetos and Takis because, Liz, we have so many Hot Cheetos and
Takis. It's like not even funny. My stomach is going to explode.
In this house right now. Yeah, it's torture. I've been eating Hot Cheetos with every meal that I make every day. For an entire week. I feel insane, Alyssa.
You're literally eating the Hot Cheetos with chopsticks.
Yeah, I was eating Hot Cheetos limon with chopsticks just off of a plate today in the middle of the day for no real reason.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like my stomach is going to explode out of my abdomen like an alien or Spaceballs, which I guess was referencing Alien. Thank you. Have you ever seen that? Have you seen Alien where the chest burster pops out of John Hurt's chest?
No.
On board the Nostromo? No. Have you seen Spaceballs where
Spaceballs.
Where the little alien pops out of, again, John Hurt's chest and probably the best cameo in cinema? No, mm-mm. Nothing.
I saw where the dad's heart popped out of his shirt in Jesse.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a fake heart.
So you have no like cultural entertainment reference unless it's a Disney Channel program, right?
True.
Okay.
I'm watching Teen Beach Movie.
Right. You were in the middle of watching Teen Beach Movie 2 when I told you it was time to do the show.
And I was like, my show.
Yeah, I know. That's not really an excuse that you can make, people of your generation anymore, because if you're in the middle of watching something, you can just pause it no matter what it is. It doesn't matter at all. Like, I was telling you this around Christmas time. When I was a kid, if you didn't see Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer when it aired in prime time on one of the networks, you didn't see it that year. Like you had to wait an entire year and hope that you were in the right place at the right time. That is not the case now.
Mm-mm.
No. But listen, as I was saying, I feel like a Hot Cheeto is going to explode out of my stomach and it's going to be like a little slimy Chester Cheetah popping out and being like, yikes, what are you doing to your body, man? That's terrible. What is going on in there? No, that would be horrible, wouldn't it?
No, like don't talk. Like that anymore.
Like, don't do the Chester Cheetah voice?
No.
You didn't like my Chester Cheetah voice?
No, please talk.
I don't think he talks like that anyway. Isn't it sort of like a posh British accent?
I don't know, but when you do it, you talk with your hands. Are you trying to make yourself look like a bear?
A bear?
You're like, rah.
Oh, I'm a bear. Look at these big paws. You've heard that joke, right? The bear goes to the... You want me to tell it? The bear goes to the doctor, and he's like, I've been having trouble hearing and seeing. And the doctor says, oh, that's too bad. But why the big pause? And he says, because I'm a bear. Right? It's good. No. Anyway, we're back with part two of our double episode, Hot Cheetos versus Takis. Liz, last week on the show, you were talking about those two religious people, as you put it, Adam and Eve.
Oh, yeah.
Those two religious people.
The ribcage girl.
The ribcage girl. That's right. And it got me thinking, in honor of our two-part episode, Alyssa, what are some things that come in twos? I can think of a few.
Identical twins and fraternal twins.
That's right. Any type of twins comes
Grinch
in twos.
Slippers.
Grinch slippers.
I got to wear those yesterday at Amelia.
Amelia has Grinch slippers?
Uh-huh.
Shout out to Amelia. Doesn't your mom have Grinch slippers as well?
She might. No, we have Elmo ones.
She definitely has Elmo slippers. I think she also has Grinch slippers. they're put away for the holidays right now. Liz, Twix bars, my favorite candy bar.
Yeah.
Comes in a pair. Headlights on a car.
Okay.
You just mentioned something that comes in a pair earlier when you said I was eating the hot Cheetos with them.
Chopsticks,
that's right. And when we were at the mall today, you asked if you could get what?
My second ear pierce.
Another ear piercing. So earrings, Liz, come in pairs.
Yeah.
Anything else that you can think of that comes in twos? Well, I can tell you something that comes in twos.
I don't know.
Two cans of soda, Liz, because we've got a snackitizer this week.
Yeah.
That's right. It's a new Coca-Cola flavor, if you can believe it. I can believe it.
I see it.
Yeah, well, you're looking at it right now, so of course you can believe it. I can believe it because Coke has been coming out like hot and heavy with new flavors in the past few years, but all of those lists were limited editions. We tried, I think, all of them, just about all of them.
Yeah.
Some of them were okay. I liked the, what was the Starlight or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
The one that was supposed to taste like space. I thought that was okay.
Yeah.
You liked the one that you said tasted like mango, right?
Yeah.
Well, this one's a little different, actually. Coca-Cola says this is going to be a permanent addition to their lineup. It's going to slot in right next to, like, Cherry Coke and Diet Coke and Coke Zero and Caffeine Free Coke and all the stuff that you can get year-round.
Yeah.
What is it?
It's Raspberry Spicy Coke.
Yeah, Coca-Cola Spiced, it says here. It's Spiced Coca-Cola. Now, you like the Winter Spice Cranberry Sprite, right?
Yeah.
But that's a very seasonal thing. Warming spices is sort of like a fall and winter thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm interested to see how this works out. The can is cute. It's got a little bit of like,
and purple?
Yeah, pink and purple gradients on there, I guess, to sort of highlight the raspberry.
I don't really like raspberry.
Well, you have boo-boo face on for sure about this. You've been grumpy as soon as you walked in here and sat down and saw these cans. So are you, well, I mean, Liz, it fits the theme of the show because we're talking about spicy snacks.
Yeah.
So we should probably try a spicy cola, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Let's give it a shot. What do you think?
Sure.
What could possibly go wrong? That's very satisfying, by the way.
Mine is always better.
Yours was better. That was really good. You know, the problem is, though, the noise reduction algorithm is going to edit that out. So I'm smelling it, Liz, and it smells a little medicinal.
A little?
Yeah, like it's got sort of a pink stuff, amoxicillin scent to it. You didn't like it, did you? You're making the pouty face. Hmm. Oh, there's not a good aftertaste.
Mm-mm.
You didn't like that, did you?
No.
Wow. So, okay. So this is not good, actually.
Let's see if Dumbledore likes it.
You're going to feed some to your Funko Mystery Mini Albus Dumbledore?
He didn't like it either.
He didn't like it either. Yeah. Oh, wow. This is disappointing. Let's hold on. Let me try another sip here just to make sure.
It tastes just like medicine. I mean, it's probably good for your stomach, though, because it's so bubbly.
Well, sure. Right up front, I think I like the initial sip of this. It's got a sort of, it has a fruity flavor. If you like put me on the spot and said, is this raspberry flavored? I would probably not be able to identify that blindly. I don't know what the spice is supposed to be.
Yeah, I'm not getting the spice.
I'm not either. I'm guessing like maybe mace or like allspice.
I'm not getting
clove,
any spice.
But it's not strongly in there. I'm not getting it either. And the aftertaste is very, very Robitussin-y.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this is going to be a hit for them. I don't know. Wow.
So many people are going to buy it because they're going to want to try it.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's exactly what we did. I don't know. Maybe there's a market for this. I don't know what it is. I don't think that Coca-Cola Spiced is probably long for this world, if I had
they
to guess, just based
cotton
on
candy.
Cotton candy cola. Wow. You know, there were a few of the limited edition Coke flavors that some people said tasted a little bit like cotton candy. Do you remember that?
Mm-mm.
There were like one or two of them that had a sort of a really sugary, really sweetly, almost vanilla or marshmallowy flavor. And I think there was a little bit of cotton candy going on in that. There is cotton candy soda.
Imagine a s'mores Coke.
S'mores Coke would be good. You could do it. Sort of like the toasty vanilla marshmallowy flavor from a vanilla Coke. A little bit of chocolate. So it would be like a black and white Coke, like a chocolate and vanilla Coke. And then how would you do the gramless?
I have no idea.
I don't know. You'd have to have something like a hearty grain that you would steep. I mean, just gram flour, sure.
Yeah.
You could soak graham crackers in Coca-Cola for a while and see if that did it.
S'mores is making me think of summer.
S'mores is making you think of summer? Mm-hmm. Well, hey, Liz, that reminds me of this week's snack.
Up next on Junk Food, it's...
Takis!
Takis.
Yeah, Takis.
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 I think that's like a Greek name, actually.
I know some people that say Takis like Takis.
They say Takis?
Or
on
not
purpose?
Takis, like like Takis.
Takis?
Like, Takis.
Well, do you know what, first off, do you know why these are called Takis, these chips that we're going to try today?
Like Pocky? I was thinking Pocky. But
like Pocky sticks, like the Japanese treats? No, it's actually Takis because these are supposed to be like little taquitos. And Takis would be like short for taquitos, like little taquitos.
I get
it. Yeah, that's pretty smart, huh?
Yeah.
So what are Takis, Liz?
They're rolled corn tortilla chips coated with a top secret chili lime spice mixture and meant to invoke the idea of taquitos, which you just said.
Yeah, which taquitos obviously are a type of rolled taco, and you like those quite a lot, don't you?
Yeah.
You are always asking us to get the giant industrial size box of taquitos at Costco when we go
there. Well, I don't ask you guys, but you get them.
We just get them anyway because we know that you like them. That's right. Well, so Takis, Alyssa, they're doing that thing that we like, which is they're taking a food that's meant to mimic another food, only smaller and slightly different. They know what's up.
People love tiny food.
People love tiny food. We love tiny food. We're going to eat Takis today, which are tiny taquitos, essentially, without the filling inside. They're just, really, Alyssa, they're just rolled up Doritos.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a corn tortilla chip tightly rolled up into like a little stick. And heavily coated with a seasoning mixture.
You know what's weird? Like, what's I that? Can handle hot Cheetos, but for some reason, Takis always make me tear up when I first have them.
Wow, interesting. So we're going to talk a little bit about that later. I think there's some stuff going on chemically with the flavor mixture in Takis that makes you want to eat more of them.
Could you imagine wasabi Takis?
Wasabi Takis. That would be pretty good. Well, you remember we had those spicy hot mustard Doritos last year, and those had sort of like a horseradishy wasabi kind of sinus clearing flavor to them. Yeah. Like a hot Chinese mustard, like you get at the Chinese food restaurant.
Yeah.
That would be good. It's interesting. Wasabi, obviously not a like Mexican or Latin inspired spice. So that would be a weird crossover there. Although, as we're going to find out today, Takis does have an Asian-inspired flavor. So, Liz, we were talking about Takis. Who makes Takis? Do you know?
A company called Barcel Foods.
Yeah, that's right. They manage Takis at the moment. They are a snack subsidiary of a very large food conglomerate called, this is fun to say, Liz, Grupo Bimbo.
Grupo Bimbo.
Grupo Bimbo. It's a Mexican Grupo company that's... Grupo Bimbo is absolutely enormous, Alyssa, like for real. They started out selling bread in Mexico City in 1945. It was just a bakery. Now they're in more than 30 countries. They have more than 13,000 products that they manage from very familiar brands outside of Mexico, like Entenmann's that makes, you know, donuts and pastries, Sara Lee, Thomas, the English muffin company, and Arnold, the company that makes wheat bread. They're responsible for about $15 billion in annual sales revenue, Liz. That's a lot for a bakery.
That could buy me a lot of houses.
Yeah, that could buy anybody a lot of houses. And
Could buy me like 15 Beverly Hills houses.
You think houses in Beverly Hills cost $1 billion?
Well, actually, most of them cost from like 18 to 32 million, I think it was.
It's one Beverly Hills mansion, Michael. What could it cost? $1 billion?
Look, I was...
Oh, you're looking right now on Zillow at home. You have the tab open. Wow.
No, okay. It's a different desktop.
Oh, you have a completely different desktop profile here where you're looking at houses on Zillow. Good grief.
Yeah.
You know you're 13, right? You're a little bit...
Yeah, I already have the house that I want to
buy. Premature for home ownership.
Look how pretty.
Yeah, that's gorgeous. It's a $14 million house. Liz. Takis responsible for a nice chunk of that $15 billion. It is, according to the company and a press release, actually, from 2021, the top growing, get this list, the top growing tortilla chip snack brand in the country.
Holy moly.
Yeah, there's a few qualifiers there.
Holy guacamole.
But Liz, surprisingly.
Because there's guacamole.
Oh, holy guacamole, because there's guacamole Takis.
Yeah.
Guacamole Takis. Guacamole Takis from Grupo Bimbo. Those are fun words to say.
What if you had guacamole Takis with a Tostito dip?
Guacky Takis and Tostitos.
Guacky Taki Tostiti Dippy.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
Oh, wow. I don't want to say that again. Liz, what? Sorry, I just drank the Coca-Cola spiced again and it's still not good.
Still not good.
Yeah, Liz. Shocker. I was saying just a moment ago, compared to hot Cheetos, which we think were probably being developed as far back as at least the winter of 1989, because that's when McCormick first delivered the spice blend that December, Takis are a relatively new snack in the United States, Liz.
Yeah.
Yeah, they only came to U.S. markets in 2004. according to Barcel, after allegedly being invented in Mexico in 1999. Alyssa.
Yeah.
What else happened in 1999?
The euro, for one.
Yeah, the euro came into being as a currency for the common European market.
Shakespeare in Love won the Oscar for Best Picture.
You know, I've never seen that, Liz.
You know, people in my grade don't know who Shakespeare is or what he did.
Bill Shakespeare?
Yes.
Old Bill? William Shakespeare?
Yes.
I do believe that, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
That's terrible.
I mean, I think it is unfortunate. Shakespeare, obviously very important in the history of literature. Have you read Macbeth, Alyssa?
I read like a shortened version.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. Can you believe it?
I can believe it. Yeah. Because you're, you know, smart and enterprising. But what is the story of Macbeth, just quickly?
It's just like, I don't know, grumpy old ladies.
Oh, the old witches?
Yeah.
Okay, well.
That's what I remember.
There you have it, folks. The 13-year-old's abridged version of Macbeth is a story about grumpy old ladies.
Yeah.
I mean, kind of that's part of it, yeah. And grumpy old men.
The Columbine school shooting.
Oh, Columbine, yeah. So I'm glad that you don't know how to pronounce that, because that means you don't know what it is.
I heard about the one in Texas.
Yes, that was one of many, unfortunately. They're all sad, every single one of them. Liz, what else?
Napster was created.
Yeah, do you know what Napster is?
No, but if it has to do with sleeping, I want it.
Well, that would be a great nap for like a tech bro disrupt the sleeping economy kind of company. But no, in fact, Napster, Alyssa, was the first popular peer-to-peer music sharing service. So you're not going to believe this, because we were just talking about like the way that you interact with popular media and entertainment. But before 1999, if you wanted to hear a song, you either had to go to a physical music store and buy an entire album for like $30 that one song that you liked was on, or you had to sit by a radio and wait for somebody to play that song. And you could only ever hear it if it was on, unless you bought the CD, the album, or you recorded it onto a cassette tape from the radio. Now, what Napster did was create digital Napster didn't create digital files, but MP3 music files were created around this time. And Napster allowed people to share them amongst each other for free, which was really cool if you were a kid at the time, like we were, but not cool if you were a music executive or the drummer from Metallica. Both of those folks were very upset that this was happening. But Napster sort of was the kick in the pants that the music industry needed to eventually move into streaming audio. And for better or worse, that's what we have today.
Yeah.
But yeah, before that, it was like, if you wanted to hear a song, again, right place, right time, or have a lot of money. After that, it was tell the magical box anything that you want to hear, and it plays it for you, which is kind of what we were doing in the car today, actually.
Yeah. The USA won the Women's World Cup after a Brandi Chastain penalty kick.
Brandi Chastain, that's right, yes.
Limp Bizkit lost their minds at Woodstock.
Yeah, do you know what Woodstock is? Well, this is Woodstock 99. Do you know what Woodstock is?
Woodstock?
Yeah.
Yeah, Woodstock.
Yeah, what is it?
Like Woodstock.
Oh,
like,
it's a stock of wood? Like,
yes.
Some wood?
Yes.
Okay, sure. Yeah, that's what it is. Go ahead, keep going.
What is it?
Well, Woodstock is a farm in New York where a music festival was held in 1969 that was kind of a big deal. And then in 1994, for one of its anniversaries, there was another Woodstock held. And then in 1999, for the 30th anniversary, there was another one held. But music culture in 1999 was a little bit different than 1969. And instead of like 3 days of peace, love, and music, there were 3 days of riots and destruction and assaults. So it was kind of bad if you were there. I think friend of the show Amir was there, actually. Anyway, sorry, go on.
Boris Yeltsin resigned.
Uh-huh, that's right.
Prince sang a song about the year that it actually was.
That's right, 1999.
The Y2K disaster was narrowly averted.
Uh-huh, that's a sort
of... Isn't that a video game?
The Y2K disaster is a video game?
Yeah.
Is it?
Oh, I'm asking.
Oh, I don't know. I've never heard of a video game called the Y2K disaster, but the Y2K disaster was...
Like a fighting game.
There's a fighting game called the Y2K disaster?
No, just Y2K.
Well, dear, Y2K was the abbreviated nickname for the year 2000, as in the year after 1999.
Maybe M2K? M4K? What was the...
Are you talking about Mortal Kombat?
NBA 4K? NBA M... NBAYK.
Oh my gosh, 2K? You're talking about
2K?
Oh, 2K. 2K Sports. Yeah, so Y2K, Y2K, Alyssa, was the year 2000, and there was a concern that two-digit placeholders for dates in computers were going to roll over and make the entire world think that it was 1900 again. So a lot of people actually had to work very, very hard for a very long time to make sure that the entire digital world did not slam to a halt as the clocks changed from 1999 to 2000. It's kind of a joke now, but it was actually a real thing that could have been very bad.
Lil Nas X was born. I like him, actually. He's kind of strange, but I like his songs.
Yeah.
And Joe DiMaggio died.
Joe DiMaggio. Do you know who Jolton Joe DiMaggio was? Mr. Coffee.
No, but R.I.P.
Yeah, R.I.P. to a real one. He was a baseball player list for the New York Yankees, one of the greatest of all time. And I think that's an interesting microcosm to show where the world was at in 1999 when Lil Nas X was on his way in and Joe DiMaggio was on his way out. Two people who could not be more different, I think, probably.
What?
Yeah, Lil Nas X is a millennial rapper and Joe DiMaggio was an old-timey baseball player.
Perfect.
I agree. Perfect. Liz.
Just makes sense.
You said earlier that the flavor profile of Takis, their top secret seasoning, was chili and limeless.
Yeah.
That's right. Those are two flavors that go pretty well together, huh?
Yes.
Very complimentary. Why is that?
Well, like some spicy and sweet like combinations work together.
That's right. And then also, of course, acid and heat.
Yes.
So there's sort of like...
Oh, Takis give me such bad heartburn.
Well, I have bad news for you.
No.
We're about to eat a whole bunch of them. The sour punch, Alyssa, of the lime balances out the sort of smooth burn of the chili peppers. And because your palate experiences those flavors in different ways at different times when you're eating them, it creates this very full, very rounded, very sort of bright flavor in your mouth. And of course, people have known for a long time that those two flavors go well together. Chili and lime, of course, a foundational flavor profile in a number of cuisines. Specifically Mexican food, obviously, the birthplace of the chili pepper, Mexico, and then places where chili peppers were subsequently exported, including Thailand. Chili lime, a foundational flavor for Thai food as well.
Yeah.
So, Liz, you like tahine seasoning, right?
Yes.
Yeah, tahine is...
Kind of.
Well, tahine is just chili and lime and salt. It was created by this guy named Horacio Fernandez in Mexico in 1985, and that was meant to emulate the seasonings of a sauce that his grandmother used to make for him. Which is kind of interesting. And now, of course, we put it on, watermelon and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
And it's very good. And the flavor combination itself works. But the heat, Liz, of the chili peppers is doing something special behind the scenes. That's a phenomenon that's common to both Takis and Flamin' Hot Cheetos. Do you know why, Liz? There is a science behind why we like hot foods. Do you have any ideas?
No.
Well, here's the thing. A Takis Fuego chip, the chili lime one that we're about to eat.
Yeah.
Is about 8,000 Scoville units, which is decently hot. Do you know what a Scoville heat unit is?
No.
Okay, so Scoville heat units make up a scale. It was devised by this pharmacist named Wilbur Scoville in 1912. And all it does really is it tells you how hot certain peppers are based on the subjective experience of ingesting capsaicin or eating peppers, which have this molecule that makes them spicy. And the way that capsaicin works, this is really interesting, is it activates neural receptors in your body, in your brain, that mimic not like flavor, but the actual feeling of the kinetic energy of heat itself. So like when you eat hot peppers, it makes your body think that it's on fire in a way.
If I was a chili pepper, I would be a level 100 million Scoville.
Oh, wow. So, well, we're going to talk about that in a moment. You are a spicy little chili pepper, Peck. How about that? Here's a funny thing. So wait, what did we say earlier? Guaki, taki, tostiti?
Guaki, taki, tostiti, dippy.
Oh, jeez. You're not going to write that down next to...
I'll get that.
What was that guy's name?
Grupo Bimbo.
Heterogeneity bumfuzzle. Very good. Liz, we were talking about capsaicin and chili peppers. Here's an interesting theory that I read. Pepper plants may have evolved...
Pepper plants.
Pepper plants.
Pepper.
Pecky, pepper. What did we just say? I can't even remember. Pepper plants might have evolved capsaicin, the thing that mimics heat in your body, to reduce the likelihood of mammals eating the fruit of those pepper plants. Because mammal stomach acid breaks down pepper seeds, and that means it reduces the likelihood that those seeds will germinate, that they'll like be planted and germinate and grow more pepper trees. But here's the thing, Liz. Birds as far as we can tell, do not experience capsaicin burns or digest the pepper seeds. So they're more likely to eat the pepper fruit, distribute those seeds about the countryside intact so that more pepper plants can grow. So it was sort of like an evolutionary thing that happened.
So if we're eating a pepper, we can think that we're eating a bird's poo-poo?
Well, no, that's not exactly how it works. Although there are some cuisines that involve, what is it, coffee beans that are digested and excreted by civets, maybe? I don't know. I'm getting that wrong probably, but there's all sorts of weird stuff like that. So Liz, we were saying, a Takis Fuego chip, about 8,000 Scoville heat units. 8,000 is about the high end for a fresh jalapeno pepper.
Yeah.
Like those peppers you were just showing me. A Thai chili pepper, Liz, can get up to about 100,000 Scoville units. A habanero.
Habanero. How about I get them gyros?
How about I get them gyros from 1999? That's right. Very good. Good callback, Liz. A habanero can be about 350,000. A ghost pepper, Alyssa, 1.5 million Scoville heat units.
Oh.
Here's the thing. A Carolina Reaper pepper, Alyssa, which... Carolina Reaper pepper. Yes. If you can eat it without immediately vomiting it back up because it's so hot, it will give you gastrointestinal distress so bad, Alyssa, that veteran competitive chili pepper eaters say that it's like being stabbed multiple times in the stomach.
Wait.
Yes, dear.
A Carolina Reaper. There's this dude online that literally eats Carolina Reapers.
Oh, yeah. People do eat them. There are like competitions and obviously like YouTubers and such that eat them. But it does hurt very bad. And the Carolina Reaper is about 2.2 million Scoville heat units. So those are hot, obviously.
This guy. He's the Spice Prince because the Spice King is this guy.
Sorry, the Spice Prince and the Spice King?
Yeah. He literally downs jalapenos, downs
I've seen
those
this kid
Carolina actually. Reapers. This guy, and he like layers everything on and starts downing it, and then after he's done, he like gulps down a whole Sprite.
Oh wow, that's gross. Yeah, you're showing me a thumbnail from YouTube of some very surprised looking young man with long hair holding up two hot peppers with bags of Takis and other spicy snacks in front of him. Yeah, Liz. So obviously, you know, you have a mass produced bag of a reddish tortilla chip. That's not going to be in the millions of Scoville units. But even if it were, Liz, people like us and maybe like the Spice King and the Spice Prince or whatever you just said would probably eat it because people love spicy foods. Do you know why people love spicy foods, Alyssa?
Why?
Well, there are a few different theories, and I think they're pretty good, actually, or at least very interesting. There's this evolutionary biology theory that posits that people have developed a taste for spicy food like chili peppers out of necessity because spicy foods are naturally antimicrobial, which means that they could help reduce the likelihood of spoilage. So when you were like in a cave trying to find something to eat and not die, spicy foods were safe foods. So if you ate something spicy, you were probably not going to get food poisoning from it, which is good.
Unless you eat too much and then you die from explosive diarrhea.
Well, yeah, that is that's disgusting, but legitimately a concern, yes. Psychologists, some of them, Alyssa, think that it might be related to what's called constrained risk theory, which is sort of the idea of thrill-seeking behavior and a way to do safe things that feel dangerous even if they aren't actually, like riding on a roller coaster. So like your body feels like you're in danger even though your brain knows that you probably aren't, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the peppers aren't going to kill you, but it sure does feel like you're on fire.
Can't a pepper actually kill you though?
Well, I imagine that in certain cases, anything could kill anyone and maybe a pepper is in there somewhere too, sure.
So like anything could kill me?
Yeah, just that, well, that's the way probability works. It won't, likely.
Like air could kill me.
Sure. You know, there are diseases that are carried in air, airborne plagues,
like oxygen, though?
Too much oxygen will absolutely kill you, yeah.
There's like an excuse for everything. Holy moly, that's scary.
Yeah, the world is a dangerous place, and we're probably not meant to be on
it. I could hit my head on the table. I could choke on my water. The computer could explode. The house could burn down.
Yeah, and that's all
the
just the stuff.
The fan could fall on us.
That could happen to you sitting in this chair. Imagine if you go outside.
The tree could fall on you. There could be a tornado, an earthquake.
Yeah, it's terrifying, isn't it?
This is just overthinking as the world.
Oh, do you want to hear some more overthinking?
Oh gosh, I'm kind of scared. Yeah.
Yeah, Liz, in 2015, Penn State University published a study that found some interesting results. which was basically to say, yeah, people like hot foods because of constrained risk, but also there were some gender variables in there. In their study, they said that men claimed to like spicy foods more than women in surveys, but then when they actually did taste tests, the women said they actually enjoyed the... The women enjoyed the spicy flavors more than most of the men did. Here's the thing, though. There was this odd physiological outlier to it. Men that claimed to and actually did like spiciness had the highest levels of testosterone in their saliva. So there was a gender thing going on there that was chemical in a sense.
Hmm.
There's some cultural and historical aspects as well where, you know, certain groups of people associate themselves over the years with spicy cuisines. Like, you know, when you go to the Thai restaurant and they ask you how spicy you want it. And if you look like me going into a Thai restaurant and you say, I'd like it hot, please, sir. That doesn't mean the same thing as if a Thai person walks in and says, I'd like it hot, please.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, Alyssa, there are some psychosomatic things that are going on as well when you eat really hot stuff. You want to know how that works?
Sure.
So capsaicin activates heat receptors in the brain. The body thinks that it's an actual physical pain because of that. And it does this process whereby it releases these things called endorphins. Have you heard of endorphins?
Like dolphin?
Not marine mammals, no. Not marine mammals, Liz. They are peptides in the body that alleviate pain and stress. So it's like your body's natural pain relief system. So eating spicy foods gives you a momentary boost of pain relief that kind of gets you high a little bit and creates a response that's similar to opioid addiction. So like when the kids in your class tell you that they're addicted to hot Cheetos and Takis, bro, you might actually want to believe them. It does the same thing as like a painkiller.
Oh.
Yeah, it's pretty weird, right?
Oh, wait, I learned a word in science.
Okay.
Not from my teacher.
All right, where are we going with
this? It was like a type of this energy thing. It was like an energy steroid, but a word for it.
An energy steroid?
Yeah.
Anabolic steroids? Those are muscle-building steroids.
But it was like a bad steroid.
Well, anabolic steroids are not good for people.
Then that was probably it.
And why did you learn this in science class?
I don't know.
Okay.
We started talking about words that sounded scientific, and then one of the boys said that.
Oh, probably one of the football boys?
No, he plays the drums and does snowboarding.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, shout out to the snowboarding drummer. Liz.
Yeah. He stole the class pet.
Oh, is that good or bad?
Skibbity.
You had a class pet named Skibbity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was a stuffed animal. It was the blue-footed booby.
Oh, my God.
But he's coming back on Tuesday.
Well, thank goodness for that. Skibbity the stuffed blue-footed booby.
Yeah.
Liz.
What?
There's good news for those kids in your class that think that they're addicted to hot Cheetos and Takis.
What?
They have lots of product to choose from.
Yeah.
Yeah. Takios.net says there are 33 different flavors of Takis. Wikipedia lists 29 of them. Most of them you can't actually get now, but some of them were bangers, Liz. There were hamburger and dill pickle Takis at one point called the Angry Burger. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can too. There was Ninja Teriyaki, Outlaw, which was a spicy barbecue, Kaboom, which was ketchup, and Sriracha. That probably went well with the burger chips, huh? The ketchup flavored chips.
Probably.
Yeah, and then there were Scorpion, Titan, Volcano, Explosion. The list goes on.
Yeah.
Liz.
What?
Do you think the kids that sang that Hot Cheetos and Takis song had ever eaten any of those other kinds of Takis, or you think they mostly just stuck to Fuego?
Probably the Fuego and the blue ones.
Yeah, I would imagine so. They did mention some other snacks in the song, like Skittles and Starburst and Fritos and Doritos and Snow Cones, and obviously Orange Fanta and Lemonade Brisk, which we talked about last week. But I don't think they talked about lava-flavored Takis at all, which is a shame.
Yeah.
Do you like novelty songs, Liz, like Hot Cheetos and Takis? I mean, we know we like that song, obviously. Do you like any other like funny, silly songs?
I like the Princess Rap Battles.
The Princess Rap Battles, of course, from YouTube, naturally. Mm-hmm. When I was a kid, there was like a whole genre of novelty songs.
Why does every princess need?
Very good. Yes, that's right. I'm thinking about like any song by the Chipmunks, Alyssa, right?
Oh, all of those Chipmunk songs make me laugh hysterically.
Yeah.
And I start crying.
Rubber Biscuit is a good one. That was one of my favorites.
Oh,
your brother Chase
that
likes
one?
That one a lot.
What's it? It's like the...
It's the Blues Brothers where they're like... Well, it's they're singing someone else's song, but it's the one we listen to is the Blues Brothers version where they're sort of like scatting, like speaking gibberish. Hey, I'd hit it, that one. Yeah. Surfin' Bird is a good one. You know Surfin' Bird, right?
No.
That's on Family Guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The Monster Mash at Halloween, another good novelty song. Anything by Weird Al, obviously. You know Weird Al Yankovic, right?
No.
You don't know Weird Al?
I'm assuming he's a weird owl.
He's a human. He's not a bird. It's owl. Oh. Owl, not weird owl. Weird owl. Oh my gosh. Oh. Alyssa. Well, that was pretty good. That was probably my favorite thing that you said all day. Oh, and listen, you know what my favorite novelty song of all time is? It's fitting for this show. Do you know what it's called? It's called Junk Food Junkie.
Oh my goodness, that's so funny.
Yeah, well, are you ready for my favorite part of this show?
Yeah.
Alyssa reads the ingredients list. What's in Takis Fuego?
Okay. Corn flour, vegetable oil, soybean and or canola and palm oil and or fractionated palm oil, seasoning, corn maltodextrin, sugar, citric acid, potassium chloride, chloride?
That should say chloride.
Oh, rice flour, salt, monosodium, glutamate, natural and artificial flavors, corn maltodextrin, yeast extract, monosodium, glutamate, disodium inosate, and guanylate, potato starch, gum arabic, hydrolyzed soybean protein, dehydrated onion, spice extractives, including red chili pepper, sodium bicarbonate, colors, disodium inosate and guanylate, sodium acetate, soybean oil, acetic acid, BA and silicon dioxide.
Yeah, I think that's supposed to be BHA, the preservative.
BA.
I know.
Contains barley, gluten, and water.
Yeah, that's a lot of stuff. That's more than was in the hot Cheetos, huh?
Yeah.
But it's a lot of the same things. Maltodextrin, citric acid,
sodium glutamate,
MSG, chili pepper extract. Yeah, that's right. So, well, we're going to try them out. So let's get to the rules of the game. Junk Food is a culinary clash to see which treat will be crowned the undisputed champion of snacks. It's a King of the Mountain style battle in which the reigning champ takes on a new challenger each week to see which snack reigns supreme. And Alyssa, the reigning defending undisputed champion of snacks is
Hot Cheetos.
Yeah, Flamin' Hot Cheetos, as you call them, the OG spicy OG. Snack. That's right. Hot Cheetos are a great snack, Alyssa.
Yeah.
I try not to get sucked into youth culture because I'm not good at it, obviously. But in this case, I'm like the opposite of that Principal Skinner meme. The kids are not out of touch, Alyssa. Hot Cheetos are great.
That was so funny when you were doing the laundry and Alexa was playing Hot Cheetos and talking. You were just jamming out.
That's a great song.
I got a video of it. You were like, Hot Cheetos and talking about folding your white t-shirt.
Oh, yeah. That's a good t-shirt. Liz, Hot Cheetos are salty, cheesy, spicy. Just the right kind of heat that burns really good.
Yeah.
The flavor and texture are a perfect match. Those sort of like puffed, crunchy curls are excellent. They grip all the seasoning and the flavoring. I can't even say that having my fingers stained red is a drawback because some people actually like that. It's like a spicy badge of honor, Liz.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, I guess so. Also,
that's like my self-tan thing, or at least your hands.
You know, it's funny. I went to a pro wrestling show last week. And one of the wrestlers came out to do commentary and he was sitting at the desk right in front of where I was sitting. And I could see the self tanner all over his hands because like he had very haphazardly applied it to his face, obviously, to come out and be on TV and didn't bother to wipe it off of his palms. Very funny. Shout out to Daddy Magic, by the way.
Daddy Magic.
That's right. Liz, quick fact check from last week. We said that Hot Cheetos cause ulcers and this is not exactly true. Spicy snacks like the ones we're going to eat today and the ones we ate last week that have excessive capsaicin or citric acid can cause gastrointestinal distress, but there is limited evidence to suggest that they actually do cause ulcers. So that was a mea culpa on my part there.
But I think it actually does.
Because your doctor told you you were in danger of getting them. That's right. I mean, of course, we just talked about this earlier. Anything can happen.
True.
Well, anyway, today we're going to try Takis. We've got the original Fuego spicy chili lime flavor in the iconic purple bag, Alyssa.
Oh my goodness. What's this? Oh my goodness. The air. I'm choking on air.
Wait a minute. Whose music is that? Can it be? It is. Liz, we've got all the other Takis varieties, at least those that were available to us at the shops. Now, listen, we didn't get any of the newfangled different form factors. We just have the rolled Takis. So, no chips, no kettles, no crisps, no sticks, no nuts, no popcorn, no waves, just
no nuts,
just the alternate flavors of the original rolled tortilla chip Takis concept. And because it's not Halloween season, I could not get the zombie flavor, although we have had them in the past, so we can comment on them if we like.
They were fine.
Yeah, they were fine. Good review there, bud.
Thanks.
Anyway, it's crunch time.
Crunch time.
We rate our snacks using a tier list from Sprinkles to Fundit.
Sprinkles to Fundit.
So snacks can be graded A, B, C, D, or F, with the very best treats earning the elusive S tier ranking. The following contest is scheduled for one serving.
One serving.
And as for the undisputed championship of junk food lists.
Yeah.
Check it out. Just like you did last week, I made a tray with little ramekins filled with Takis.
Oh, those nitro ones look like they're out to kill me.
They do. They are deep, dark red. I'm not looking forward to that. And little post-it
waterfall
notes saying which is which here. So, Liz, quick, we don't have the bags here, but let's talk about Takis packaging because it's good.
Yes.
It's a purple bag. It's got yellow and red font on it. It's got lots of like extreme close-ups of the texture of the chips. And then each one of the appropriately enough color-coded Takis chips that we have here, because each variety, each flavor is a different color. I like that a lot. Has a different bag. I think my favorite is the dragon sweet chili because it has like a neon sort of like Chinese New Year dragon float kind of thing.
Why didn't you put them in colored order?
Why didn't I put them in colored order?
Yeah.
Oh, because I arranged them in order of spiciness. So the top three are all Takis bags, very helpfully, have a little temperature heat indicator on the side, like a thermometer. Fuego, Nitro, and Blue Heat are all extremely hot, it says. Dragon Sweet Chili is hot. Crunchy Fajitas and Guacamole are both mild. And those are the six that we've got here today.
Oh.
Now, Liz, you were commenting on the look of these. They look amazing. I am so pleased with the way that these look. Every chip flavor is a different color. So Fuego is sort of like a bright red, would you say?
Like
a bright reddish orange almost?
Yeah.
Yep. Nitro is like a deep dark red, like a brick red. It mm-hmm. looks so hot. Blue Heat are obviously bright blue.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of blue foods in nature lists. There's like blueberries and not much else, huh?
Yeah. Blackberries are kind of blue.
They can be bluish, sure. Blue raspberry, I guess, is a flavor, but we've talked about this before.
Guacamole is like a diarrhea green.
Well, that's disgusting. Yeah, like baby diaper green, I guess.
Crunch fajitas are just orange.
They're orange, like regular orange.
And then dragon sweet chili are like light orange.
Yeah, like light orange. But each one is themed appropriately, which I like a lot. All the hot Cheetos we had looked the same, really, except for the tangy chili fusion, which were a little bit darker.
Wait, I don't understand the crunch fajitas color, though. Why are they orange?
Why are they orange? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Probably just to make them look different. Like, why is dragon sweet chili light orange?
Hmm.
I don't know. I don't know, Clark. Anyway, let's take a whiff of these because we'll try them. We'll try each one in order. How do the Fuego smell? Because we're going to, obviously, this is the baseline.
Fuego smells like Fuego.
Yeah, they smell like corn and they smell like chili peppers. So go ahead. Let's try
one
here.
White.
Listen, lady, you were sitting on the couch earlier in a white sweatshirt eating hot Cheetos.
And then marinara sauce.
And that's right. And ravioli with marinara sauce. So I have no sympathy for that. Liz, these are so good.
Yeah.
The Takis Fuego, the rolled tortilla chip, is dense and crunchy in a way that a hot Cheeto is not, right? So a hot Cheeto is crunchy, but it's sort of like airy as well. This is dense crunch all the way through because of the way that corn tortilla chip is rolled up and doubled over itself. There is the sour punch of lime that kind of hits me in the back and bottom of my throat here. It's brightly acidic up front, and then like the slow rolling heat comes in. You have licked the flavor powder off of a Taki just for fun, or is that the way you eat them?
Just for fun.
Your fingers are already red. Liz, sneak attack.
Oh gosh.
I've got a Fanta here, an orange Fanta for you to try with a Takis Fuego, as indicated by you should open this into the microphone because you're better at it. From the Hot Cheetos and Takis song. We did not have a lemonade brisk in the fridge outside, so no holdovers from last summer. Wow, well done, bud.
Thanks. I got it everywhere.
You've splashed orange Fanta on the tray. Go ahead. Have some orange Fanta and a Fuego Taki and tell me if that does anything. I think there might be some complementarity from the citrus in the orange. I think maybe the bubbles from the soda might help carry the flavor across the palate.
It makes it less spicy. Do you get that?
Yeah, it does. It brings out the sweetness a little bit. I do like orange juice in buffalo sauceless as sort of like a secret ingredient, a splash of orange juice.
Mm.
Yeah, that works. I mean, I probably wouldn't do it all the time, but it's an interesting pairing. All right, let's move on to Nitro.
These scare me so bad.
No, I don't know. So on the bag, Fuego says that they are the flavor of chili pepper and lime. Nitro is habanero and lime. If you recall, habanero peppers higher on the Scoville heat unit scale. than some of the other peppers that we would try, like a jalapeno, for example.
Okay.
So we're going to try the nitro. I don't think they're that much hotter. Actually, I think, if I recall, because we've had these before, I think the fuego felt hotter to me in the past. Yeah, so these are interesting. The habanero has a different flavor profile than whatever the red chili peppers are in the fuego. Nitro with the habanero is hot. It's just as hot as the fuego. I don't think it's hotter. Would you say it's hotter? No, I don't think so. I think they're probably comparable. A habanero by nature is a little bit more fruity, a little bit more sweet, I guess, than some of these like purely hot peppers. So we're getting a little bit more of that here. It's a little sweeter. It's a little earthier, a little grassier, a little fruitier. Not bad though. I mean, if these were the only Takis, they would be really good. Let me try one more.
You know, this is the first time I've had an orange Fanta.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you think? Impromptu review and score. Where does it go on the
I'll give it a B plus.
B plus for orange Fanta. Wow. Okay, so here's the one I'm dreading this. Because I
love these.
These are not my favorite. This is Blue Heat. And Blue Heat is just hot. There's no lime. They are just spicy, according to the bag. So whereas Fuego and Nitro are sort of buttressed by the chili-lime combination, the citrus punch, the brightness of the acidity, Blue Heat is just hot. And they're bright
like the
blue. They're so ridiculous looking. I mean, they're so goofy looking that we put them on the spread that we had at Halloween, just for some visual contrast.
I love how they make my tongue bleed.
Yeah. So these lists, what I'm getting mostly from this is a big hit of salt right up front. These are spicy and salty. In that way, they're similar to Hot Cheetos, I think. Although the Hot Cheetos have that sort of undercurrent of cheese with them, which really, I think, carries that flavor profile, that combination a long way. So Blue Heat are also good, just different.
I just don't like how it makes my throat feel mucusy.
Oh, yeah. So your body is probably having a reaction to the heat that it's experiencing by starting to, like, activate some of your mucus membranes. Like, this is why your nose runs when you eat spicy food, too, which mine is doing right now. I'm not sweating or anything because these aren't, like, you know, super hot, but I can feel that happening in my body right now. All right, now we're going to move on to some that are a little bit more fun. So those were just heat-forward, traditional flavor combinations. Now we've got Dragon Sweet Chili. Smell those, bud, because that's an interesting smell there.
I want the fancy one.
You've found a chip that's slightly unrolled. Now listen, when I smell this, the first note that I get when I smell the Dragon Sweet Chili is soy sauce, like a sweet caramelized soy
yes.
sauce, like something that you've poured around the top of a wok as you're making a stir fry, and the sugars in the soy sauce are caramelizing and the wok hay is making it a little smoky. Oh yeah. So this just tastes right up front, very sweet. I'm getting a lot of sugar in this. Sort of a smooth mid portion where there's a soy sauce flavor, like definitely like a dark soy, and then a little bit of heat on the back end, like just a little tingle on the tongue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you say that?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the problem with that is that I don't want to eat that all the time. This is a nice diversion, but I don't think like I'm not going to sit down with a bowl of these and watch a movie.
I feel like there's so much changing in your mouth as you're eating it. It just like distracts from just mindless munching.
Yeah, that's a really good way to put it. I think so too. It's sort of whatever the opposite of, well, it is still palate fatigue, just in a different way. It's not like the monotony of a single flavor. It's too much going on, too many flavors.
Yeah.
Interesting. Good call there. Good analysis. All right, next we have Crunchy Fajita. Liz, these don't smell like much of anything, which is interesting because I know what they taste like because we've had them before. And if I recall, I liked these a little bit.
I smell it.
You smell it? What do you get?
Oh, what is that seasoning? I do not know the seasoning.
Is it cumin? Mm-mm. Like the taco seasoning?
It's just the taco seasoning. That's
yeah.
what I'm getting.
Okay, so like a packet of taco seasoning, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I get a little bit of it, which is predominantly, I think, cumin, which is funny because we had nachos tonight for dinner. Your mom makes really good nachos. Your mom.
Really fajita. They're too salty.
Yeah, I think I remember you saying that last time we had these. Now, I like them. They are very salty, obviously. We're eating crunchy salt. These are salty snacks. But
the amount of food that has been wiped on this blanket from me is unreal.
And it's pretty gross. You're lucky that I actually do take that down and wash it in between shows.
Really?
Yeah. Did you not notice that it was folded gently on your chair today when you came in here?
Nope.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, so that's, again, an interesting flavor from Crunchy Fajita where
I'm just glad it's calming down on the spice.
Yeah, these are not spicy really at all, I would say. Because they do identify that these are mild in heat. But I got some cumin. I got maybe some oregano in there, like a Mexican oregano.
Mm-hmm.
like a little bit of red bell pepper, maybe. That was the predominant spice in the tangy chili fusion hot Cheetos, was red bell pepper. That was that thing that I couldn't really identify, that I thought was maybe like tomato paste.
Oh, have you ever had like, I don't know, like a beer in a can, or like a coffee in a can that had like a ball at the bottom?
Oh, yeah. Those.
What is the purpose of that?
Well, some of those are like, so, you know, we were talking about the Pepsi Nitro Cola.
Yeah.
Well, that's what it is. It's a little agitator for a nitrogen.
I think
I'm getting a little more garlic from the crunchy fajitas too, like garlic and onion powder. Anyway, now you're already onto guacamole. These are green chips. These have, I think, the strongest scent of any of these, and it's overwhelmingly garlic and jalapeno, I think, right?
Yeah.
Is that what you're smelling there? So guacamole, traditionally, what? It's avocado, lime.
Garlic,
sometimes garlic, white onion, cilantro, jalapeno. That's like a very traditional guacamole. Yeah, your mother, your mom, actually, one of those people for whom cilantro tastes like soap.
For me, too.
Oh, is it for you, too?
Yeah.
That's weird, because I love cilantro. I think it tastes wonderful, but you guys must have that genetic marker that makes it taste like soap. Actually, listen, I like these a lot, the guacamole Takis.
Me too.
This is a nicely flavored chip.
I like how they're not spicy.
Yeah, they're not super hot. I mean, they're not hot at all, really.
Mm-mm.
But they have, just like with the habanero, where it's sort of like a fruity, very grassy pepper flavor, that combined with the onion and the garlic, probably garlic. This may be the only ramekin of these that we actually finish, because I think you're going to eat them all.
Yeah.
So anyway, Liz, there was one that is out now that I just couldn't find at the stores, and it's Intense Nacho, I think, which is like a spicy, cheesy flavor, more yellowy than the Dragon Sweet Chili in color. And my guess is that those are probably like a spicy Dorito, like a spicy nacho Dorito. So we'll have to see if we can find those for another show.
Oh,
maybe
my stomach hurts so bad.
You're already feeling the burn? I will say, and I'm kind of proud of this, Liz, even after eating all those hot Cheetos this whole week and after last show, I've been sort of spacing it out and not eating like an entire bag in one sitting, and my stomach feels okay. I'm not in crippling pain. You're already getting there? Well, in that case, let's hit the bliss point, Liz. Which one of these do you think is the best? What are your rankings for them? And then, like, we got to get down to it. It's hot Cheetos versus Takis.
Fuego, I'm giving S tier.
Strong.
Nitro, I'm giving C. Blue Heat, I'm giving B plus. Dragon Sweet Chili, I'm giving C plus. Crunch Fajitas, I'm giving C minus.
Wow.
Guacamole, I'm giving B plus too.
Liz, I gotta say, yeah, Fuego, obviously S tier as well. This is a great snack. The form factor is perfect. The seasoning is complex but comfortable. The heat level is just right. They're excellent. So yeah, Fuego S tier. Nitro, I think, is probably a B for me. Blue Heat, maybe a also a B flat. Dragon Sweets Chili, C minus. I wasn't crazy about it. Crunchy Fajita, C plus. Guacamole, probably B plus. Maybe an A minus. I like those a lot. But yeah, Fuego, obviously really good. And now the question we have to answer, Alyssa, what do we think is better in the battle of the heavyweights here? Two S tier snacks, hot Cheetos or Takis? I think I know what my answer is. You're thinking very hard about this.
I don't know, because...
Well, talk through it. Let's see what we can come up with. Tell me about what you're thinking.
I'm not really thinking anything. I'm just kind of, I don't know. Well, I like the Fuego because they're crunchy, like they're crunchy chip, not like the airy. But I like the hot Cheeto because they're airy and not crunchy.
Oh, interesting. So you like them both because of their textures, which are different.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a wash then. What's next?
I think I'm going to go Takis.
Wow. So what is it specifically, do you think, about Takis that makes them better than hot Cheetos?
Because hot Cheetos hurt my stomach more.
Oh, wow.
And that
okay.
makes them less enjoyable for me.
That's interesting. That's a very important way to think about it. Liz.
What?
I think we have a competition between two flavor profiles here. And the first is pure heat with cheese from the hot Cheetos. And the second is chili and lime from the Takis. And I think if it comes down to it, the chili and lime flavor combination is superior to that of hot cheese.
Yeah.
Hot Cheetos are amazing. I won't turn them down. They're a great snack. They are exactly the kind of like capitalist alchemy that we expect from a mass-produced food product that's designed to get you to sit in a spot and eat as many of a thing as you possibly can in as short a period of time as possible. But Takis Fuego tastes better, I think. The sour punch and bright acidity of the lime, coupled with the slow rolling heat of the red chili peppers, is a masterful combination. And for that reason, I think, Alyssa, your winner and new reigning, defending, undisputed champion of snacks is...
Takis.
Takis, Alyssa.
Takis.
Yeah. Wow. What a showdown. I'm so excited for this. You drank an entire Fanta orange while we were sitting here. The Coca-Cola spiced sits lonely and unloved in the corner of the desk in the studio. Good grief. Listen, no Oreo rule this week.
Gosh.
Nothing going on there. But we do have to ask a very important question, one that we ask each and every week. Will it deep fry? Can you deep fry this week's snack? What do you think?
Well, they're already fried.
Yeah, Takis, just like Hot Cheetos, are already fried. But also, Alyssa, just like Hot Cheetos, people like to crust things in crust up Takis and fry them. So lots of recipes online for Takis mozzarella sticks. Takis fried chicken, a big one. Liz, do you think you would like a Takis fried chicken?
Mm-mm.
No, you don't think you would like a hot chicken with a Takis crust?
Mm-mm.
I don't know. I think it could be okay. We may have to try that out one day. Oh, also, Liz, I found this out. There is a bagel place in Princeton that has a Takis bagel with a scallion cream cheese. So very similar to what you showed me earlier, where people were putting cream cheese and Takis inside of a pepper. In this case, it's cream cheese and Takis inside of a bagel. I think that'd be pretty good. Contrasting flavors and textures. You can sign me up for that one.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what else we can sign up for?
What?
The Back of the Box.
Yeah.
It's time to check out The Back of the Box, a weekly segment where we play a little game. Would you like to play a game?
Yeah.
Okay, you don't have a choice. This week's segment, Alyssa, is Famous Foods of Filmland.
On Famous Foods of Filmland, we talk about the snacks on the silver screen.
That's right, Liz. Last week, we said we watched the Hot Cheetos movie, Flamin' Hot, on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Well, I watched it. You took a nap and then woke up for 10 minutes at the end.
Yeah.
Your mom thought it was cute.
She did.
She did. There are lots of movies about food and restaurants, Alyssa, but precious few about snacks and junk foods specifically. Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle probably counts. We did White Castle sliders on this show.
Yeah.
Maybe The Founder, a movie about the former CEO of McDonald's, Ray Kroc.
Yeah.
But I think as of this moment, Flamin' Hot might be the only movie about an actual snack itself. There is, Alyssa, a movie about Pop-Tarts coming out that Jerry Seinfeld is shepherding.
Oh.
So that'll be interesting. We'll probably watch that and review it for the show. Alyssa.
Yes.
I need to know.
Yes.
If you were going to make a Hollywood movie about a snack, what snack would it be? What would be the plot of the movie and who would star in it?
Okay. I kind of thought this out already.
Nice.
Well, I didn't really think it out, but I kind of thought it out.
Okay.
Okay. So the main character is Adam Sandler.
Adam Sandler, your brother downstairs watching Billy Madison right now.
As Billy Madison.
Oh, so Billy Madison, a sequel to Billy Madison.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
But it's about Takis. Like, just hear this out, okay?
Okay, let's hear it.
Okay, so Adam Sandler goes to the founder of the Takis seasoning.
Okay.
What's his name again?
Well,
the Takis seasoning guy.
Well, the Hot Cheetos seasoning guy was Richard Montañez, but not really. We're talking about Barcel USA, which is the company.
Yes, so that's what I meant. So he goes over to Barcel USA, and he checks out what's going on.
Sure.
And he's like, yo, what new snacks you got for me today?
Is that your Billy Madison impression?
Yes.
That's good. I like it. It's really good.
And so Billy Madison, they give him a bag of Takis to try out.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, ooh, Takis Fuego so hot. One, two, touch.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So it was all for that one joke?
Yes.
So Billy Madison eating a Taki was just to make the...
the Veronica Vaughn.
The Veronica Vaughn joke. Very good, Liz.
Yes.
That's it?
And then, I don't know, who else would star in it?
I don't know. I mean, probably if it's an Adam Sandler movie, there would be David Spade and Rob Schneider and Nick Swardson and all those guys.
I want Ariana Grande in there.
Ariana Grande as the love interest?
Yes.
I think there's a bit of an age gap there.
Oh.
No, you don't care? Doesn't matter?
Oh, well, it's a Hollywood movie.
Everybody loves The Sandman, that's true.
Yeah.
So that's it?
Yeah.
What's it called?
Boom.
It's called Boom.
Yeah.
Not Fuego?
Fuego Boom.
Fuego Boom.
Yeah.
Okay. Liz.
Yes.
That's an excellent title for this made-up movie. And this podcast should reach you in excellent condition, satisfaction guaranteed, or your money back. If you've got a question for us, you can write to the address on the label. That's junkfeudpod@gmail.com. Any final thoughts this week, bud?
No.
Double episode in the books, Hot Cheetos versus Takis. We've got a winner, and it's Takis. Liz.
What?
This podcast has contained your recommended daily allowance of fun. For more, go to X, Instagram, Threads, Blue Sky, or wherever you choose to be social, and find us at JunkU5. You can watch fun size reviews on YouTube, buy our merch on TeePublic, and don't forget to catch all the snaction each and every week wherever you listen to podcasts. Until we see you again, for Alyssa, I'm Mike.
Hasta lasagna.
Don't get any on ya.
Bye.